Welcome to today's episode of The Refined Alpha. I'm your host, Jeremy Coombs. Welcome today's guest, Ty Hatfield, a former SWAT police officer and now turned author. Ty, take it away.
Hi, Jeremy. Yes, I am a retired police officer for the city of Long Beach. I was there 30 years. And in that time, I was a SWAT team leader for 7 years, worked undercover assignments, worked undercover narcotics. And then for my last 9 years, I was a lieutenant in charge of the juvenile section. And there I got to run the juvenile section where kids arrested were brought to our facility and our detectives would handle their cases. And or if a juvenile youth committed a crime and he was still out and about, we would look for that juvenile. But on the other end, I got to run mentoring programs. At the time, we had the DARE program, Police Athletic League. Due to budget crisis in 2008, that all went away, but I was able to create some other mentoring programs with police officers and kids in schools. And about 20 years ago, my wife and I decided that we were going to write a book about parenting, only because she was such a great mom and had her experience was a school teacher for 6 years before we had kids. But she was very dedicated to creating a cohesive family. And our friends were always asking us questions about, hey, how do you get, you're so well organized and all that. And my wife would give them the answers. And then, so that's why I kind of convinced her that we should write a book about parenting. I was kind of a goofy dad and came up with goofy ideas. But we started writing this book and we saw this advertisement for a parenting class and we thought, oh, this would be good for the book. We don't really need it as parents, but it'd be good for the book. And the first night we were in this parenting class called Redirecting Children's Behavior, and they said, you don't have to do timeout anymore, and here's why. And they were talking to the timeout king and queen. We were all about timeout. You know, your kid makes a mistake. You set the timer for how old they are. You don't have to think. They sit in the chair. Now, that didn't necessarily always work, but it was our go-to. But what we realized in that class is that timeout was just another form of punishment, and punishment doesn't really work, truly work. And we just examined and shined a light by taking this class on our poor habits of parenting. And funny enough, my wife learned all these things at her college, Cal State Fullerton, in a teaching credential program using timeout, bribery, rewards. And these are all things that go counter to all your good work in parenting and cause problems down the line that we realized taking this class. So we started teaching this course called Redirecting Children's Behavior, became instructors, and just got better and better at it. And of course, our parenting got better. And my wife went back to college back in 2006 and got her master's in spiritual psychology from a world-renowned school called University of Santa Monica. And it's a unique place where you work on yourself for 2 years using different psychology techniques. So she was transformed with that, and her school project was to write our own parenting program, which we call Parenting from the Heart. And we had an amazing mom take our class with her husband. Her name is Wendy Thomas Russell, and she was a writer at the time, and said, one day I want to write this book with you guys. That book was on hold that we started years ago. And so 3 years ago we met and we started writing our book, which is now called Parent Shift, 10 Universal Truths That Will Change the Way You Raise Your Kids. And it's 10 times better than I ever thought it would be. Our early release is parents are rereading this book because it's so helpful. and we're getting a lot of great feedback from people. And we have some awesome endorsers, the people that we followed in our 20 years of parenting, like Adele Faber, who wrote the most famous parenting book called How to Talk So Kids Will Listen, That Listen So Kids Will Talk, which I highly recommend for all parents. So that's where we're at. We're just releasing that parent shift, and I love talking about parenting and helping dads, especially.
Quite the career arc there to go from police officer and teacher to back to school and all because people looked at you as experts in parenting. And this is just a large assumption on my part and maybe some of my listeners that a police officer would be very, very strict. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you actually have some other techniques as opposed to, all right, you're going to get a whooping or you're going to timeout. What are some tips to go away from that style of parenting?
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that. In our research for our parent shift, I found a gem of a book called New Ways of Discipline, and it was written in 1949. And in the book, there's quite amazing things in there, but one of the things is they had done research on occupations of the father and how they affected a child's self-esteem. And they found that no occupation affected the child's self-esteem except for two. One was military and one was police. And if kids were raised from those households, their self-esteem was lower. That's kind of shocking, but
why is that?
Well, because in the military, you're taught there's structure, you follow it, you do what the boss says no matter what, right? Law enforcement is kind of a splinter off paramilitary organization also, and you have strict rules, you follow them to the T, supposedly, right? And so if you're in the military, and this is the way it should be no matter what, and you don't have much knowledge about child development, children's temperaments, understanding children's personalities and understanding the brain and what brain you're talking to. You know, a six-year-old brain is not a 25-year-old adult brain, but many times parents will have higher expectations than what is possible with the child in the brain they have currently. So it's more knowledge. It's in our book is all these things that we call universal truths. We come out of the gate right away saying that punishment or bribery rewards doesn't intrinsically really help your kid. It fights against all the good things that you do.
So you're saying this is a great reminder for me. I have a 7-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just to take a deep breath and realize like he's just 7. Like I know that there are times that I catch myself doing that. Like, oh, Dylan, like, why didn't you realize that you shouldn't have done that? And then it's like, oh, wait a second. He's 7, you know?
Yeah. And when we do parent coaching with parents, when they come over, we'll have them read from our book, Parent Shift, as what does a 7-year-old look like? What are some sometimes disturbing things for parents, but very typical for their natural development, right? Had a mom the other day, and she's writing an article on this, and she says, okay, my 3.5-year-old went outside and peed on the tree. And she thinks that's perfectly normal. The husband says, that's crazy. That's bizarre. But for a 3.5-year-old to do that is totally normal. So just knowing and not expecting things. And I think the fear is they're always going to do this, but they move through the developmental stage quite easily if you don't fight against it.
So, but it's good to have some systems, correct?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, you want to have, in fact, kids need young, 1 second. kids need structure because they want to know when they wake up what's the first thing, second thing, third thing to do. They like that if it's in an organized way. And parents sometimes are whimsical about that, and it becomes confusing, and there's a lot of stress about the morning routine when it could be much easier. How does your morning routine look with your son?
It's pretty basic. Dylan wakes up, he takes a shower, he eats his breakfast, makes his lunch, and then we head off to school. And I have him, he does it all himself. It's gotten to the point, last year I made a change and I just started letting him, I used to dress him and pick out his clothes. And I stopped that. I said, all right, Dale, you can pick out whatever clothes you want. You can make your lunch. And I taught him how to make his breakfast, and I allow him, I wake him up, and then whatever happens in that time frame is what he does. So some days he likes to eat breakfast before he makes his lunch. Other days he makes his lunch and then eats his breakfast. But he has that, he knows, he calls it his schedule. He knows that those are the things he has to get done before school starts.
Well, it sounds like you experienced a parent shift somehow there.
Well, I mean, I read the book Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. It had a tremendous impact on my life, because I didn't grow up in a family with structure. And mm-hmm. So when I started to meditate, exercise, and read before 8 o'clock in the morning, and I set my own structure, started my own routine, it had a tremendous impact in my life. So I knew that that was going to have an impact on his life, but also selfishly, it makes my life a lot easier too, because I'm not having to do every little activity or thing for him. It's like, no, let him. And Dylan, he loves it. He loves being able to pick out his own clothes, and he loves, like, I'm very fortunate enough where he's a kid. He wants to help with everything. Like, it's almost to the point where sometimes I'm like, all right, Dylan, you got to back up, because we're in the kitchen. You know, like, I'm doing this, like, you got, and then finally, like, okay, here, go for it. Like, this is how you do it. Right. No, you have freedom, go for it. And he's loved it, and it's taken off.
Yeah. You know, you're reporting what hundreds of parents have reported to us, is that when you give them the power and responsibility and train them, they just take off. And fortunately, you fell into this, and you're doing this. What happens though, if you don't do that, is you fight against it. The kid gives indicators that, hey, I'm ready to do this. I want to help. But no, you're not old enough. You know, it's going to be messy. It's going to take a longer time. You know, it takes time, but the time gets saved in the long run, because then now he becomes more efficient. He does it for himself. You can do your morning routine while he's doing his morning routine. You don't have to, you have more time, really. So you've touched into one of the universal truths of giving kids more power.
How many universal truths are there?
There's 10. And I can tell you what they are, but the first one is all children have emotional needs.
Give us your top three out of the 10. And then I want people to be able to go to your website and read the book, because it's one thing for you to tell us about it, but to actually put it in action and process it is a whole different level to that, and really owning it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, so the first one is all children have emotional needs. I'll get into that in a minute. The second universal truth is all children have innate neurological responses to stress. And so that's the brain research and what brain you're talking to and all that, which is super important. And then all children must express their feelings, which is, since you have a son, I like to bring this up, is that boys are typically shut down their feelings, hide their feelings, because of us guys typically, and moms too, where boys aren't to be so sensitive, you know, so they get the message early on, don't cry, hold it in, you know, things like that. But let me just back it up a little bit, because in our book, Parent Shift, we talk about the punishment and a thing called But It Works. And this started early on when we started teaching parenting. A dad one time, I specifically remember him coming to me going, "Hey, I know you guys don't believe in this reward bribery thing, but my kid wouldn't clean up his room, so I said I'd give him a cookie." And he said, "Okay," and he cleaned up his room, but it worked, right? And I said, "Well, there's a price to pay for that. And we'll do a little role play, if that's okay with you, to kind of explain that."
Sure, let's go for it.
Okay. So I'm going to be your dad. You're going to be my 7-year-old son. Since you have a 7-year-old son, this will be perfect. I'm going to ask you to take out the trash, and your first response is going to be, "No, I won't," for whatever reason. And then if you think it's in your best interest to change the answer, you can, but only if you think it's in your best interest. And can you pick a favorite sport that I would have to take you to, like you're going to have practice later in the day that I need to take you to, but you love?
Baseball.
Baseball. Okay. So, Jeremy, you love baseball. You thrive off of it. When I take you, you're excited. You're excited to go. You know, you're just thrilled to do that. So that's your source of nourishment to do that. Okay?
All right.
So here we go. All right. Hey, Jeremy, would you take out the trash, please?
No, Daddy.
Jeremy, take out the trash. It's overflowing. I need you to help around the house here, okay?
No, Daddy. I'm working on my comic book.
Okay, so that's not important right now. The trash needs to be taken out. If you don't take out the trash right now, I'm not taking you to baseball practice.
What?
Yeah, you've got to do something. The trash is overflowing. I'm doing all the chores here. Come on.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no baseball unless you take out the trash right now.
All right, Daddy.
Oh, thank you. Why do I have to work so hard just to get you to take out the trash? It's very simple. Okay. So that's But It Works equals I got my agenda. So let's look at two things. We're going to look at the relationship and we're going to look at the cooperation. So let's first talk about the relationship. If I keep parenting this way, is it going to damage our relationship?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to be more... We're going to be disconnected more, right? Yeah. And if I keep parenting this way, is your child, your self-esteem going to go down?
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, because what I say is more important. You're not, your feelings aren't considered. So you start to feel bad about yourself, right? If I keep parenting this way. And it's disrespectful to you. I just said, do it now because I said so. Your feelings aren't considered and the relationship is disconnected. And then let's look at cooperation. It's in the spirit of win-lose. Win-lose meaning I'm happy, you're not, but I don't really care because I got my agenda met. And what happens with this is that it's going to promote future power struggles. You know, you're desperate to go to baseball, so you're going to take out the trash, but you might hit your brother a little later. You might be uncooperative in something else. You might tell me that I'm a bad dad or something like that later. And I may not even correlate the two together. So, and also in this cooperation that I got, which is false, it's you learn to please the authority figure. So if I keep parenting this way, just like the military dad, you know, you just follow orders without question. Then when I am a teenager, 12 or 13, and my peers start to tell me something, my authority figure, maybe the guy I look up to, tells me to smoke a cigarette or do something else, I'm stuck in that pattern because I've lived it so many years. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're really shining a light on our conversations with our kids and how we get cooperation. So we're going to take two on this take out the trash scenario. And again, you're going to say no, but if you think it's in your best interest to change your mind, you will. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Jeremy, the trash is overflowing. Can you take it out, please?
No, Daddy.
Oh, it's not a good time for you?
No.
I'm doing my okay.
comic book.
Oh, yeah, I see. You're in the middle of your comic book. That mm-hmm. makes sense. When would you be willing to take out the trash?
Maybe later.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
When I'm done with this comic book, this chapter.
Oh, okay. How long do you think that would take?
20 minutes.
Okay. So when you're done reading this chapter, you're willing to take out the trash, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you know, your comic book, you love your comic book so much, you get enthralled in it. What would be a way to remind yourself that you're going to take out the trash when you're done with
it? Write myself a note.
Oh, okay. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Okay. And where are you going to put the note?
Right next to my comic book.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that'll help you remind yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a win for you?
Yes.
Okay, that's a win for me. Cool, and we'll fist bump on it. Boom. Okay. So, let's look at it this time. So we call this "and it works equals win-win parenting." So let's look at the relationship and the cooperation we got. So if I keep parenting this way, is it going to deepen our relationship?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it going to enhance your self-esteem?
Yes.
Yeah. And this is a how to think mindset. I'm sure the listeners can hear that you paused, you had to think, you had to brainstorm, you had to come up with ideas. We went back and forth, right? And so it's a what to think mindset. You're thinking, this is at 7, you're really contemplating, how can I make this a win for my dad and for me? You're gaining valuable lessons and skills doing this versus do it because I said so. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, it sounds the art of negotiation.
Yeah, and amazingly, at 7, you're going to learn this right now. So when 12, 13 comes along and the hierarchy boy on the playground says, hey, let's go smoke a cigarette, you might say, hey, let's go do something else instead. Because I have the skills now, right? If I was just following orders, I don't have those skills. And then we just look at the cooperation. The cooperation now, it promotes team family. It's a win-win. It's good for you. It's good for me. And I check in with you. And sometimes kids give in too soon. So I want to make sure, is this really a win for you? You know, you talk like that. Or if they're younger, age 7, you might say happy, you know, instead of win-win.
Do you literally ask, is this a win-win for you?
What's that?
Do you ask the child, is it a win for you?
Yeah. Would you want a fellow adult coworker talk to you that way? Your boss? Hey, is this a win for you, Jeremy? Wouldn't that be ideal? Not a lot of people talk like that.
No.
But yeah, we want to check in because, you know, there's the go-to employees. I know them well, right? Hey, I can ask Joe to do it. He'll always say yes, right? But I don't want Joe to always say yes because that's his default. I want a true, authentic yes. You know, if he doesn't really want to do it, let me find the right person to do it, you know, if possible. You know, it's not always possible, but that's how we want to run our family because it teaches. Now you are going to learn the value of contribution and look for what's best for the situation. Just by my pausing myself and honoring what's good for you too. You know, to come up while you're in the middle of the comic book was kind of rude, really, right? So I had to take a pause and go, oh yeah, this is a bad time. You know, if you were in the middle of watching a movie, I wouldn't say, hey, Jeremy, take out the trash, right?
Yeah.
it's a bad time.
Yeah. I guess we don't, as parents, I know that I haven't personally thought about that, is honoring what they're doing and really empowering them and making them feel good about their choice.
Mm-hmm. And you're really early on, you're teaching about boundaries. Like, oh, yeah, if I were to come in here and say, get up right now and do this, that's kind of a boundary breaker. You know, if somebody were to do that in the adult world.
I mean, we can think back when we were kids and our parents did that to us.
Like, right.
Like, and it was, I'm the dad, so I'm right. You do what I say.
Yeah.
So then let me ask you this. Because there's always, I guess people will say, is there a healthy balance of that? Where you've gone too soft by asking them to do that. What if they don't honor their commitment? Like, where's the, I guess the balance of being strict and honoring them as well?
Yeah, my first thought is that every problem or challenge that you have in your family is either one of two categories or combination. So it's either a relationship problem or a systems problem, right? So you, earlier you talked about your son's new system. That's working well. You know, many parents don't have that system. So the system, changing the system, like, okay, this system isn't working well. Let's go for another way, you know, and maybe you step into your child's shoes and go, you need to understand that more. But the more important and probably most prevalent is the relationship problem. So if I were to go back to the taking out the trash, if I just have a really low connection with you, you don't see me very much, I'm a busy dad, work too many hours, I yell at you a lot, then the cooperation is not going to be there. So the first step in our class and in parentship, we talk about the relationship. You know, work on the relationship. Are you taking your son on one-on-one dates a lot? Because that fulfills all the emotional needs when you do that. You know, just you and your son going out on a regular basis without distractions and all that. Or, you know, giving them undivided attention just for a good solid minute or two is all they need many times, or playing a game with them. So you really got to look at the relationship and then look at the system.
So what, it's interesting because a lot of parents get caught on their phone, and what is there an ideal amount of time to spend with them per day, per week? What's like the sweet spot?
I wish there was a magic formula for that. I could sell a lot of magic formulas like that. But what it brings up a good topic is that each kid is so unique in their needs and wants. But here's what your kid is your temperature gauge. They're going to tell you exactly how you're doing as a parent. You know, if you're getting a lot of resistance, a lot of power struggles, that tells you the relationship is probably damaged and you need to work on your relationship. And we can talk about that
in a lot of things, right? It's a systems or a relationship problem. It's, you could,
yeah, at work, yes, business, yeah, for sure. Your spouse, for sure. And I didn't have much structure in my home. So my wife was very organized. I'm disorganized, chaos. So we had to work on our systems for sure.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that.
And it's hard. Parents, if you weren't raised in structure, like you were saying, with you read the book and now structure is more part of your life, it's super helpful now.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a household where there wasn't structure. We had no systems or structure. And so as an adult, I saw how that affected me, and it still does. And so that's why I came up with that system for Dylan, and I've tried to... I'm very strict about bedtime and having that nightly routine as well. Cause I realize there are lots of things I can't control. But if I can set the, the tone or the agenda for every day that he knows, and he knows what to expect. He'll even tell me, Daddy, I'm ready to go to bed. After a shower, he brushes his teeth and he has that. And I got full custody of him in May. We're almost coming up on a year. And he didn't really have a lot of structure at home with his mom. And so it was in the beginning a battle for me, and he didn't like it so much. And then he settled in, and when he settled into it, he's really, really done well. And, mm-hmm. and so it's the power of that, the power of structure.
Yes. Yeah. So important. And, it's good that he's, has some control in it too. Maybe he wants to take things out of order, change it up. But if he has the structure and some freedom and power to change it and add to it, super helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's very creative, and we're a lot alike, and we're high energy. And so I've tried to empower him to know, like, he's a little bit different than his classmates in the sense that he has so much energy, and people would try to put me in a box and calm me down. And so it's, one of the things that we're having dialogue about is how do we have our energy, have fun, but still fit within the structures and the system where we're not being disruptive to everybody else.
Right. Yeah. That's great. At 7 to learn all that is amazing. You know, 7, you and I never learned that, did we?
Not at all. And I allow him, one of the things I do with, I guess, with his consequences, we make deals. So the art of negotiation, if he says something, all right, Daddy, I'm going to do this. And I say, okay, if you do, this is this. And if you don't, what happens? And I allow him to pick both sides. And when what I've been trying to do, and you can tell me if you think this is good or not, is teach him accountability. That when he says he's going to do something, he does it. And if he doesn't, well, there's the other side of that as well.
Yeah. Can you give me an example of if he doesn't?
So, for example, he loves to play Minecraft. And so if he doesn't, there's a color system at school, and with his behavior. And if he gets below that color system, he doesn't get to play Minecraft. Very simple. If he does, then he gets to play his Minecraft or do whatever he's chose for whatever the activity is. It could be he likes to draw. I mean, there's anything. I allow him to choose. Okay, here are our expectations, and you get to choose. You get to choose both sides. If you do it, this is awesome. If you don't, this is what happens.
Mm-hmm. So, are you saying that his behavior ties in with what he can do at home at school? Behavior at school is tied in with at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I wouldn't recommend that.
Okay.
Do you want to keep both separate? You want to keep the teacher's relationship with your son totally separate from what's going on at home? And that what's going on at school is totally in her department, and it, you know, things could be run inappropriately there. You know, we're not saying sometimes teachers don't do things well, right? So yeah. If it's, let's say it's something unfair happens and he gets a low color, but it's totally unfair. And now you have this system at home. Now he thinks this is unfair times two, right? And it's just very confusing to kids. So I would let his behavior be at school, and he takes the consequences, whatever that is, with the teacher. And with Minecraft, and when we're talking about limits, we want to make sure the limit is not confusing. So the limits are really about health and safety, really. So playing too much Minecraft is not healthy, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah. So what's a healthy amount of Minecraft is what you have to come up with in your perspective, you know, for a 7-year-old. So whatever that number is for you, I would say you don't want to confuse this. You want it to be, hey, you get 6 hours of Minecraft for the week, or 2 hours, I'd say, right? And you manage that however you want. So it's not confusing at all. You don't want to mess with the limit because it's arbitrary. Like, it blows in the wind what it could be. Let's say you're going to go into the doctor's office and you're there an extra amount of time and you say, bring your Minecraft. And now he's on the Minecraft for just blow through it. Well, you know, we were at the doctor's office, so it's okay. You know, you don't want to do that. You want to bring other things that he can do that he can keep himself busy with, because then he knows I got 4 hours of Minecraft and that's, I have to manage that time. Now he's in charge of that, but he has his dad checking in on him for the health limit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
It's not confusing at all, is it? It's like, hey, this is it. And it's a structured thing. It's not confusing at all.
It's not confusing one bit. And then he gets to play within those boundaries that he set and he understands.
Yeah. Yeah. And you explain to him as best a 7-year-old can is that it, this amount is healthy. After that, it becomes an addiction and we don't want that. And that's good for ourselves too, right? We get reports of dads on, they don't even know their wives. They're gaming all the time, right? Super unhealthy. So we, those of us that were brought up with no structure need that, you know, structure of us deciding, even as adults, I can't do more than this because it's unhealthy. A conscious decision.
So you have your 10 truths, you have the book. Where else can we find you?
We're at parentingfromtheheart.com and we're on Facebook, Parenting from the Heart, and Instagram, Parenting from the Heart.
Do you guys do live events too? Is it all, is there a course people can buy?
Yeah, we have a workshop that we recorded and that's available for purchase on our website. We do classes in Southern California. We just teach 2 a year. It's an 18-hour, 4-week class. We do them on Sundays. So people in San Diego or Ventura County can drive down here and participate easily if you're in this area. We're in Orange County. Very life-changing. To get basically 4.5 hours each Sunday, four Sundays in a row is amazing. People just build on their parenting, come back and just are transformed. And we have a life membership too, for a little bit more money. You can be a life member and parents come back multiple times to take our course. And we're super excited about Parent Shift because the writer that co-wrote the book with us, she's a professional writer. We're just the experts. And so we spent 3 years with her. She took our class 8 years ago when her daughter was 5, and her husband transformed their relationship with her child. And so 3 years ago, we started writing this book, and it's 10 times better than I thought it would be. And we have amazing endorsements. One is by Adele Faber, who wrote the classic book, How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk, which is probably the number one parenting book ever out there. And it's an amazing book. And she's honored our book, saying it's an encyclopedia of positive parenting. So hopefully the listeners will go to our website and pick up a copy. And actually it's coming out. We have it available right now before it's on officially on Amazon.
That's a pretty good endorsement. The queen of parenting saying <here. laughs> congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. And there's other, like Dr. Laura Markham. She's a well-known doctor, expert. She wrote some great books out there. She's supporting her book, and other experts are.
So recap of what we learned today. there's usually two things with your kids if you're having problems. It's either a relationship or systems, and then you need to set limits with a timer and win-win parenting strategies. So in empowering them to make the choice and pick a time, like, for example, in our trash, taking out the trash, what time would work best for you? How are you going to remind yourself? And then closing with the, is that a win for you?
Yes. And I would say in there, when you first told me, no, I won't take out the trash, what's so important is put myself on pause right there, pausing, and maybe even putting your hand on your heart, just breathing and going, what's going on here? You know, and shift from your head to your heart and go, what does my child need in this moment? You know,
that's a great nugget right there. What does my child need in this moment?
Yeah. And if you could just sit with that for a minute. And one of my favorite authors is Eckhart Tolle, who wrote The Power of Now and A New Earth. He says, non-reaction is not weakness, but strength. So non-reaction is not weakness, but strength. Because if your son Dylan can see you putting yourself on pause over and over and over again, he's going to do the same thing. But if he sees you reacting, he's going to do the same thing.
Yeah, our kids are just mirrors of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I would say for dads, don't sweat the small stuff so much. Our egos get tied up into, oh my God, my 7-year-old, 8-year-old's is doing this. And they told me no, and they're always going to tell me no. And, you know, or they don't like sports. They need to be in a sport. You know, maybe there's a hobby or something else they can do, but, you know, many times a dad is pushing a certain sport, you know, and we want our kids to really fall in love with the sport that fits their needs mostly.
Sorry, somehow I got muted. I'm uber athletic and my son is not.
So, yeah, that's a source of stress right there. You know, it's like, oh, let's do this. Oh, I don't really want to. But you become creative and go, okay, well, what are some other things that you like to do that gets your body moving? You know, and maybe he hasn't found the right thing for him yet. So you just be creative and experiment and explore and try different things.
Yeah. I mean, he's artistic. He can draw and he loves it. I'm not very artistic besides I can write poetry. But as far as drawing things, it's just not my forte. And so with sports, he loves watching me play. I'm the flag quarterback of my flag football team.
Oh, uh-huh.
And, he loves watching me. He doesn't necessarily like to play himself, but he did recently ask me to play soccer again because he had played soccer and he was literally that kid in the middle of the field standing there. And I had to take a deep breath and I did pause. I did what you said. And I'm like, okay, like this is just the way it's going to be. There's no, I remember from my growing up that the dad yelling at the kid and that never works. And so instead of yelling, I just waited for a timeout and called him over and I just made it about Sonic the Hedgehog because he loved Sonic the Hedgehog at that time. And I asked him, you know, does Sonic let the bad guys just run by and do nothing, or does he fight and get the bad guys? And he's like, well, he fights, Daddy. And I'm like, well, the ball is the bad guys. You got to get the ball from the bad guys and be like Sonic. And I just put it in a frame of mind, and he said, okay, Daddy. Now, he didn't go after the ball as you would want, but he started running. So I was like, okay, that's a win. You know, like he's not standing in the middle of the field. He's actually running. And I took a breath. I made it about him because I never want to be that dad in sports that pushes and pushes. I want him to love whatever sport he chooses, like the way that I love baseball and football.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that the experts say that kids should not really be in competitive sports until after age 8. So developmentally, it's better for them just to, you know, throw the ball with dad, play catch, kick the ball, play with dad, you know, do those things together. And then developmentally, 8, 9, 10 is a better age for that. And you might just see a change in him just because of that alone.
Well, I've seen this year he started, because he hasn't played soccer in 2 seasons, and he, Daddy, can I play soccer? And he has a visual disability, and so he had wanted to play baseball, but I don't know that he's going to be able to, but he knows that he can, the soccer ball is big, and he can see it.
Right.
So he wants to play soccer again.
Yeah.
Which is great. I'm like, all right, Dale, let's play. And we kicked the ball around. We've been kicking the ball around at the house a lot, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. That's more important than any organized sport right now. Dad time, kicking the ball together. It doesn't get any better than that, really. My daughters are in their 20s now. And
yeah, it's interesting because I didn't have that with my dad, but I'm blessed and I have a twin brother. And mm-hmm. So we were always playing baseball together.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much, Ty, for your time. And again, can you give us the website so that we can find you and your social media tags as well?
Yeah, parentingfromtheheart.com is our website. And we're on Facebook as Parenting From The Heart, and Instagram, Parenting From The Heart. And we'd be glad to, if any dad has any questions, send me an email. There's a contact on our website. Be happy to answer any questions.
Awesome. Parenting from the heart for the win.
And get Parent Shift. It will change your life.
Thanks, Ty. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, Jeremy. Have a good day.
That's a wrap on today's episode. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for listening to me out of the thousands and thousands of podcasts. I do appreciate that you chose this one. Don't forget to hit the subscribe and or share button and visit our site at refinedalpha.com. Talk soon. Bye.